How many verses there are in Psalm 23? 22. What verse is that one? 22. That means we've gone through the whole chapter, and I guess you can be seated. I hope you have spent some time working on memorizing and putting God's word in your heart and in your mind. If not, at least I hope as we've read through it Sunday after Sunday that some of it has stuck. It is so important we know God's word. You know, this morning in our sermon in just a little bit, and last week, do you remember what we were talking about? Satan. And Satan is real, right?
Yeah.
And in Bible study, or in our Wednesday morning, or Wednesday night and Thursday morning Bible studies mixed around. Thursday morning, we are talking about Christ's temptation when he was in the wilderness. And Satan came and tempted him. And how did Christ respond? With Scripture, with God's Word. We need to make sure we have God's Word in our heart and mind so when those temptations come, we can respond with the truth of God's Word. And so put it in your head, put it in your heart, and keep working at it. All right, anyone have a praise this morning? Let's remember that we need to remember to thank Him for just all the gifts and benefits as we read about in Psalms 103, the benefits that He brings into our lives. All the good things we have, know, and experience are from God. And he deserves the praise and the thanks from the depths of our heart for each one of those things. All right, this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to begin in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. So I'd encourage you to find that and follow along. And again, if you ever forget to bring a Bible, there are a whole shelf of them in the entryway. And we encourage you to take one and follow along. And if you don't own a Bible, take it and keep it. Or give it away if you know someone that needs one. God's word needs to be in our hand, in our head, and in our heart. Proverbs chapter 30. I'm going to be sharing verses 7 through 9 of Proverbs chapter 30. And I'm going to ask if you found that, if you're able, if you would stand as we read God's word this morning. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. And this is what God's word shares. Proverbs 30, beginning in verse 7. Two things have I required of you, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you again for this time that we have to be in your presence, to come together as a family. And Lord, I thank you for your word that we can read, that we can understand the truth of it, that we can apply it to our lives and to the way that we think. And I pray, Lord, that that's exactly what we do. And now, Lord, I just pray these next few moments that we have together that you would help us to focus on you, to focus on your word, not to be distracted by thoughts of yesterday, today, or tomorrow, but to focus on the right now that we have with you. So speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us to be obedient and to listen. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we ask these things. Amen. You can be seated this morning. As I shared, and if you're here last week, we were talking about Satan, the devil. And we're going to talk more about the devil today. And I know in your minds you may be thinking, why we're in church, why are we talking about the devil? There is a reason that we're talking about the devil. We are talking about the devil. We are talking about Satan because Satan is real. Satan is a reality. Satan is not the figment of someone's imagination. Satan is not a scary story that was made to tell around a campfire at night. Satan is not just a costume that people put on at Halloween. Satan is a reality. Satan is real. Satan was an angel that fell from heaven, that was cast out of heaven. And where is he now? He's here. The Bible, even Jesus called him the prince of this world. He is a reality that we deal with in our lives. And even at the beginning, the very beginning, back in the book of Genesis, guess who was there? Satan. To tempt Eve and Adam, and we know about the fall of mankind. When Jesus came down to this earth and began his ministry, guess who was there? Satan. When Christ spent the 40 days in the wilderness, and then Satan came and tempted him. And in our lives today, guess who's there? Satan. Whether we like to admit it or not, whether we like to think about it or not, Satan is a reality. And even more than that, Satan has a desire. And his desire is for you and for me. His desire is to destroy our spiritual lives. His desire is to keep us from doing the things that God wants us to be doing. That is his purpose. That's what he spends his time doing. And you know what? He's very good at it. And Satan will attack us in our lives. If he was bold enough to tempt the Son of God, do you think he's bold enough to tempt you? Yes, because guess what? You're not the Son of God. And if he tempted him, he's certainly going to tempt us. And we looked last week as we read in 1 Peter. It says, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, that means he's our adversary, someone who is working at a goal that's different than ours. Our goal should be to become closer to God and closer to Jesus Christ. And Satan is our adversary. His goal is to pull us away from Jesus Christ. It says to be sober and be vigilant because Satan, our adversary, is like a roaring lion roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. That's an interesting word, devour. What does it mean? If you have a plate of food in front of you, like some of us did last night at the Fall Fest, and you devour the food on that plate, what just happened? You consumed it. And what happened to that food? It's gone. It says, Satan, seeking whom he may devour, he wants to erase some things from our lives. He wants to erase the desire we have to be obedient and to be servants of God. He wants to take that away, to steal that away. And the other reality is Satan knows when he will be the most effective in our lives. Because as we looked last week, it said to be sober, to be vigilant, to be aware that Satan is our adversary. But you know what it talked about before that? It said humble yourselves. Because if we don't, in those moments of pride, in those moments when we think we're strong, guess what? That gives Satan an opening. And then after that, it says to cast your care on him. Because guess what? In those moments when we don't cast our care on him, when we're keeping all those burdens and they weigh us down, guess what? We're weak then too, aren't we? And the reason we're looking at this scripture in Proverbs, you might read this and think, well, what does this have to do with Satan? In reality, this is talking about that same concept. Look in verse 9. Lest I be full, when we have everything we think we need, when we feel strong, we feel like we're meeting our own needs, we feel like we don't need anything, are we weak in that moment? Yes. And what is the temptation that can come? We can deny God. We think we don't need him. And to be honest, I think in the nation that we live in, this is the trap Satan uses a lot. We are blessed in this nation, aren't we? Yeah. We have a lot. And I'm not saying that there aren't people that are needy and people that are hungry. That happens. But as a whole, we are one of the wealthiest, and if you want to look at it in that sense, one of the most blessed nations on the earth. We have a lot. You have a lot. I have a lot. And yet, is there a temptation that comes in that? Yeah, we begin to think we can meet our own needs. We don't really need God. That's an opening for Satan. But on the other end of that, lest we be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor. So when we don't have a lot, is that also a weakness? It says, yeah, because then we'll steal. Lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. In other words, whether we're at our weakest or at our strongest, both of those are openings for Satan to get a foothold in our lives. And that is what he will seek to do for you and I. And we need to be aware of that. Again, the Bible says he's our enemy, our adversary. If you don't even know you have an enemy, how do you think you're going to do when he comes knocking at your door? To know you have an enemy means to the fact that you can prepare for your enemy. And we're going to look this morning just a little bit at some of the methods that Satan uses that we need to be aware of in our lives. Even here in Proverbs, in verse 8 of chapter 30, it says, remove far from me vanity and, what's it say after that? Lies. This is one of the first things that we need to understand that Satan will attempt to do in our lives. He will feed us lie after lie after lie. That's what he did in the very beginning when he was with Eve. And God put him in the Garden of Eden, that perfect place for them. And what did God tell him? You can do all the things that you want to do except for what? Eat of that tree right over there. What was Satan's message to Eve? Go ahead, eat it. It's okay. It won't be bad. It's not going to hurt you. It's an okay thing. Just go ahead and do it. What was that? It was a lie. Do you think Satan understood what it would do? Yes. Did he know that that wasn't for the benefit of Adam and Eve? Yes. And yet he lied to them so that they would fall, didn't he? And God's perfect plan for Adam and Eve fell, was destroyed by Satan. I want you to look in another scripture. Turn to the New Testament, to John, the Gospel of John chapter 8. You're going to look at just one verse, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. If you have any question in your mind about Satan being a liar, this verse should dispel you that of that notion. John 8, verse 44. Jesus here himself is speaking, and he was speaking to the Pharisees, some of the religious leaders. And look at what Jesus tells them in verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. So yeah, Jesus was talking about the devil here, wasn't he? And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. How much truth? None. Zero. Not a bit. No truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. Listen to this last line. For he is a liar and the father of it. That means he's the father of lies. That's pretty significant, isn't it? He told the first lie that's recorded in the Bible, didn't he? And he continues to lie to this day. And he will lie in our lives. Does he lie in the world today? Do people believe some of the lies that Satan spreads? Yes. Yeah, you're right, Jerry. Look at our world. It is obvious some of the lies that Satan shares. And we can understand, because there is a constant battle between the truth and lies going on in the world today. And it is a spiritual battle. It's not, I know we're in the middle of an election season. But folks, the battle that's truly going on is not an election battle between Republicans and Democrats. The real battle that is going on is a battle between truth and lies, between good and evil, between God and Satan's lies. That is the spiritual battle that is going on. Now, we know in the end God is going to win. But that does not mean he's going to win in every person's heart, does it? There will be some who fall for the lies and miss out on heaven because of that deception. That is reality. And think of some of the lies and truth, the battle that is going on today. At the very heart of things. In our nation today, a large number of people believe in the whole concept of evolution. Is that a lie of Satan? Yes, because guess what you have to get to the point that you believe in the Big Bang and evolution? What do you have to do before that? You have to remove God from it. You have to believe that God wasn't there, that there was just all this stuff in the cosmos that somehow was there, that there was this explosion that somehow happened, that things somehow formed, that the earth somehow formed out of that, that some kind of life oozed up out of the muck and the mire, and somehow that organism evolved and became mankind as we know him today. That is a lie of Satan, period. because it takes God out of the equation. It doesn't say that God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't say that God created us. What does the Bible say about it? Who created us? Who created everything we see and know around us? Who created all the planets, all the stars, the sun and the moon? So there's truth and there's a lie. Has Satan succeeded in convincing many people of that lie? Again, that's the foundation of it. But we can take so many more issues. Look at the abortion issue in our world today. The killing of babies. And yet Satan has convinced so many that, no, it's okay. It's just a choice. God doesn't mind. It's just a choice that you make, and you should have the right to make that choice. Folks, that's a lie of Satan, period. God values life. God creates life. When we end that and believe it's okay, we're believing a lie of Satan. The issue of homosexuality. We are to love everyone, right? Yes. Does that change the fact that homosexuality is a sin? No. Because the Bible says it's a sin. It's an abomination to God. That is the truth, and Satan twists that to the point where in our world today, it is certainly as a whole accepted. And it's just what does the world call it? It's an alternate lifestyle, right? Choice that you can make. That's not what God's Word says. So again, it's believing the truth or believing a lie. And you can take that a step further with gay marriage. What does the Bible say? And I know I'm touching on a lot of big things in our world today, aren't I? The Bible says marriage is between a man and a woman. God is the one that instituted marriage, period. God is the one that created man and said it's not good that he's alone, so he created woman, and he intended that they come together. That is marriage, period. Anything outside of that is believing a lie of Satan. But we can get more personal than that. What about divorce? What does the Bible say? What's the Bible say? I know these are touchy topics. It says it's a sin. Now, can you be forgiven of that? Absolutely. That's what God's all about. That's why he sent Jesus Christ, because we need forgiveness. But that doesn't change the fact that it's not God's desire, that it's a sin. It's what the Bible says. And yet in our world today, well, if things don't work out, just an option. What about premarital sex? Sex outside of marriage. Sex before marriage. How common is that in our world today? I know I'm hitting on all the big topics today, aren't I?
Keep going.
Keep going? Good. I'm going to, Jerry. Sex before marriage. People living together before marriage. It happens all the time. It happens all over. As we look at our world today, it's really more common than not. But what does the Bible say? It says it's a sin. So how has it gotten to the point where our world looks at it as okay? How has that happened? Because Satan has gotten the world to believe that lie. And he lies in so many other ways with all the temptations that he brings. You know, we look at people that struggle with things like alcoholism and drug addiction. How do you think those things start? Do you think somebody ever says, I hope to become an alcoholic. That's what I want to be. I hope to be strung out on drugs. That's my real desire in life. Nobody sets out for that. How does it happen? There's a lie that is presented. Hey, this is going to make you feel good. It's going to take away the pain, whatever. And it's, well, just a little isn't going to hurt. Just once isn't going to hurt. What is that? That's a lie. And even in our lives, that can happen. Something happens and we know we're going to get in trouble. And what can be our first response? Colton had it. I didn't do that.
We just had a talk yesterday.
You just had a talk yesterday? Colton, there are times we all need that talk. There are. Because our first inclination and reaction could be to say, I didn't do it. to tell that little lie and to think, well, if I just lie about that, you know what? It's not going to hurt anybody. Did you hear Colton? The man has some wisdom. He said, one lie leads to another. But that's how Satan starts it out, as something small, and tries to convince you that, don't worry, it's just a small little lie, no big deal. Folks, sin is sin. Whether it's a lie, whether it's abortion, whether it's homosexuality, any of these, they're all sin. And sin separates us from God. And folks, again, that is exactly what Satan set out to do, to separate us from God. That is his purpose. That is his plan, and that is his desire. Satan lies, and he will lie to you. Why do you think it's so important that we know God's word? So that we know the truth and don't fall for those lies. Because not only that, but Satan is, the Bible sometimes uses this word, he's wily. Like Wile E. Coyote, yeah. What does wily mean? Well, look in 2 Corinthians. Look in 2 Corinthians, because this kind of talks about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And Paul is writing here, and he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he has some concerns for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, again he's concerned, lest by any means, as the serpent or as Satan beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. There's two words there that really Satan is good at and that describe Satan. The first one is, he is subtle. What does it mean to be subtle? Sneaky. Wily. He'll get in with something that kind of seems okay, and he'll just subtly just kind of sneak that in there. He'll sneak it in maybe even with some other things that seem good. It's kind of, I don't know why these weird examples come to mind. It's kind of like our dog. When we try to get our dog to take medication, do you know what we do? You just kind of slip it in with something good. You put it in some peanut butter, or you put it in something, the dog's like, oh, this is good, I'm going to eat it. In other words, it wouldn't, because it doesn't like it. That's what Satan does. He'll slip it in there where it goes in unrecognized. He's subtle. The other word that it uses, lest he, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity of Jesus Christ, the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When something is corrupted, do you know what that means? It means it's not good anymore. It means it's been twisted. It's been changed somehow, and not for the better. Folks, that's what Satan does. He corrupts. He twists. He changes things. When he tempted Jesus, do you know in one of the temptations what he used? He used the Bible. He used Scripture. He said, cast yourself off this high point, and because the Bible says angels are going to come and bear you up and won't let you fall to the ground. Satan used the Bible. Do you think Satan knows the Bible? Yeah, I'm going to hazard a guess, but I'm guessing Satan knows the Bible better than we do, because guess what? He's been around a lot longer than we have. And he used to be an angel. You're right, Annabelle. Satan can even take Scripture and twist and corrupt it and then make us try to believe it. That's what he did with Jesus. And again, that's what he'll try to do with us. You know, you think of things again, like in the life, the world that we live in. Some people say, well, God's not going to send anybody to hell, because the Bible says that God is love. So he won't do that. Does the Bible say God is love? Absolutely. It says very clearly, God is love. But if Satan uses that scripture in that way, it doesn't line up with the rest of God's word. Because God is love. That's why he sent Jesus, to forgive our sins. But if we don't accept that, guess what? Our sins aren't forgiven. And we will face an eternity in hell. But Satan tries to corrupt it and just get people to believe God is love, so do whatever, everything's okay, and you'll be okay. That is Satan corrupting and twisting God's word. And yet, are there people that have fallen for that? That is why it is so important that we are following and believing God's word. You'll hear other things that sound biblical. You know, sometimes I'll hear this expression. I just heard it the other day on the radio. Somebody was talking. And they said, well, we're all God's children. You know, in reality, do you know that's not true? It sounds right, though, doesn't it? We're all God's children? We're not. We are all God's creation, aren't we? We're all God's creation. But how do you become a child of God? You have to pray. You have to believe God's plan. That He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And when we accept that, and when we ask for that forgiveness, our sins are forgiven and we become part of God's family. It says we become joint heirs with Christ. That means we become brothers and sisters with Him, and we have an inheritance that's waiting for us. But that comes through accepting Jesus Christ. That is becoming a child of God. You're not just a child of God because you were born. You're a creation of God, but you only become part of the family when you accept Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven. Again, some things that sound right, but if you really hold them up to the truth of God's word, we can understand it's Satan twisting. Why does Satan do all this? Why does he do all of it? Bingo. I told you he was a wise man, didn't I? Didn't I? Last verse I want you to look at is John 10:10. Gospel of John. Chapter 10, verse 10. I think Colton knew where we were going next. Jesus here is talking about the fact that he's the shepherd. But there are false shepherds out there. And he talks about a thief. Who do you think that thief is? Satan. And in John 10:10, Jesus himself says this, "The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." That is, folks, the desire of Satan in your life. He wants to steal away the word. He wants to steal away the truth. He wants to then steal away the joy, hope, and peace that you can find in Jesus Christ. That is his desire. He will do it through lies. He will do it very subtly. And he will even use God's word, but corrupt it and twist it to where some people think that they're doing the right thing, but it doesn't really line up with God's word. The reason we talk about all this, folks, is because the Bible says we can have a victory over Satan. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
But you know what? The battle that goes on in our lives, we are not automatic victors over the temptations that come. We're not. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean automatically you're going to resist temptation and you're going to win every time. The way that you resist temptation, it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But we overcome temptation with God's word. With the truth, just like Jesus did. That is the recipe. But we need to be in this. We need to know this. And we need to expect that Satan is going to attack. So we need to, the things that people introduce in our lives, the ideas that come across us, we have to think, does it match up with God's word? The things that I believe in my life, do they match up with what God's word says? The truth of the gospel. Because again, Satan is a deceiver. And because of that, he will try to deceive. But I like the end of verse 10 in John 10. Jesus says, "But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, the reality is while we spend time here on this earth, we're going to face temptation. I'd like to tell you that's not the case, but that is reality. You are going to be tempted in your life. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Expect it. It will happen. It does happen daily. But if we stick to the truth of God's word, who's going to have the victory? We are. God is. In the end, he will have the victory. I want to read you one last verse. It's Romans 16:20. I didn't have a bookmark in it. Give me a second. Romans 16:20, and I like this verse. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan shortly under your feet. Doesn't that sound nice? We're going to face temptation now. And we need to know the truth of God's word. But there will come a time when God says, enough's enough. Satan, you're done. It's over. And guess what? That's when the real victory, the eternal victory comes. But until then, be sober. Be vigilant. Understand you have an enemy that is going to try to tell you lies. Always rely on the truth of God's word, period. Let's pray this morning. Lord God, I thank you again just for your presence in this place. I thank you for your word that we can hold on to, that we can cling to. And I pray, Lord, that we would look at your word as the truth in our lives. That the things that people try to tell us are true, tell us what to believe, that we would always hold them up to the standard of your word. That we would hold our own thoughts and ideas and opinions up to the standard of your word. And whenever something doesn't agree, even if it's our own thoughts, I pray, Lord, that we would always understand and recognize that your word is the truth. And we need to change our lives to reflect your word, not change your word to reflect our lives. Help us, Lord, to know your word is the truth and to cling to that and hold on to that. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for your message to us on this day. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning as we close, the altar's open. If God's speaking to your heart, Satan again is going to tell you a lie. He's going to say, you don't need to go forward. You don't need to get out of your pew. Other people are going to think there's something wrong with you. You know what? There's something wrong with all of us, isn't there? It's called sin, and we all have it. You need to come and talk to the Lord this morning. Come and talk to the Lord. The altar's open. Let's bow our heads as we close in prayer. And just remember this week to hold on to God's word. It is our truth. It is our guide in life. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you again for this morning that you've given us. And I pray as we leave this place, we understand and recognize that we have an adversary. That as we strive to live out a Christian life, a life that would be pleasing to you, that Satan will try to distract, will try to deceive, will put roadblocks in our path. Lord, help us to always remember to stick to the truth of your word and to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Help us to live like that. Thank you again, Lord. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week.